Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today, I'm joined by William Bofelli, who was our third place 2025 FKT of the Year winner for his 4-hour, 43-minute supported Mont Blanc round trip on skis FKT. Thank you, William, for coming on the show today to talk about your FKT. I'm excited to chat with you.
Thank you for the invitation. I am very happy to be here and to speak about my record, my FKT.
The first thing I'd love if you could do is describe the route you did, because I imagine a lot of our listeners aren't really that familiar with Mont Blanc.
Yes, the road simply starts in the center of Chamonix, exactly near the church of the Chamonix. That is basically where all the FKT start from Chamonix. And also is the start of such important races, such as UTMB, Marathon du Mont Blanc. So the start of Chamonix is the reference point. And so for FKT, for me, the sense is to go from the start, that is the historical center of a village, of a city, to the summit. So I start from the center of Chamonix. I simply run in the street, in the road of Chamonix, basically for one not 2K on the road, asphalt road. Then I took the path that leads to the tunnel of the Mont Blanc, the tunnel that links Italy and France, in particular in Italy to Chamonix in France. And this is a very simple path. And then when you arrive at the tunnel, it starts the steep path that leads you to the Bosson, to the glacier of the Bosson. Here I made the Duchon, that is basically the lower part of the Bosson, of the glacier, the traverse located at more or less 2,800 meters of elevation. Then I reach the Petit Plateau, the Grand Plateau. And then I climb that is quite technical ridge that leads you to the summit of the Mont Blanc. Once I arrived to the summit through the arête de Bosson, I simply ski down the north face of Mont Blanc. So I climb up from the ridge, the Bosson, but I ski down the north. I return on the Grand Plateau, Petit Plateau. I pass again through the Grand Moulet Refuge, that I also pass in the uphill, and then down to the Duchon. Here I put off the ski and I simply run downhill in the forest until reaching Chamonix for the same route of the uphill.
And so were you carrying your skis the entire time then when you were ascending the mountain and then you only skied down?
Yes. I followed the same approach that Benjamin Vedrain before me did. So I follow the same approach. So I start with all the gear, all the equipment from the start. So ski poles, skins, all the gear that was mandatory, necessary for me to ski. So I bring all my equipment from the start to the finish.
What kinds of gear were you carrying other than the skis? Did you need crampons, ice axes, anything like that?
I simply take a backpack containing a jacket, a primal of jacket, and a windproof jacket. Then I had, of course, crampons, because I wear the crampons on the arête de Bosson, the technical ridge that leads you to the summit of Mont Blanc. Then I have a spare pair of skin in the case that I lose my skins. Then I also had a harness with me, and the helmet, sunglasses, yes, a race suit, and then yes, my booth that I fix on the ski and on the backpack at the start. Then I put my booth and the ski boot. And yes, basically I think I say all. Yes, and basically this is all. I don't have the ice axes because I tried the before And I see that that day it was then not necessary. So I didn't take with me an ice axe.
Why did you choose to do the Mont Blanc FKT utilizing skis? Because we have several different routes. Why did you choose to do the ski route?
Basically, because for me, it's the more simple way to climb the mountain, because Mont Blanc is a classic ski mountaineering loop, especially in the spring season and in the early summer season. Is one of the famous and iconic ski touring. And also me, I am a ski mountaineering athlete, so I choose to join the two sports in which I am stronger, that are basically trail running and running, because I am also a trail runner in the summer, and the ski, because I am a ski mountaineer. So this is the natural link between a ski. And also for me, because it is the fastest way to climb the Mont Blanc. Maybe one day I will try also by foot, but we will see.
Yeah. No, that sounds like the perfect combination for you.
Yes.
To do the running and the skiing. I mean, maybe it's just because Mont Blanc is so iconic, but why did you want to do this FKT?
But because me... I live here in Courmayeur, so when I wake up in the morning, I simply open the windows of my house. I open the door and I see the Mont Blanc in front of me. So here in Courmayeur, but also in Italy and in Europe, the Mont Blanc is the most iconic mountain. And so for a guy like me that lives in Courmayeur is a dream that comes true, and this is the motivation that every day I have to go out to training and to do alpinism or simply to climb.
I spent some time in Courmayeur this summer, and yeah, the mountain is right there, and every day I was like, I want to go up there. You yes. can't not want to climb the mountain.
Exactly. This is the reason.
Yes, that makes sense.
The mountain is call you.
So you mentioned Benjamin earlier, and he actually set the FKT on Mont Blanc just a week before you did. Now, were you already planning to attempt the FKT when he did this?
Yes, I already planned. Indeed, I think it was the beginning of May, and me and Benjamin, we met on the summit of the Mont Blanc, and both me and Benjamin were trying the route, the condition, but no one told to the others that we had in mind such record. We speak about the record that Kilian had, the time of Kilian, and yes, some things, but nobody say to the other that he wanted to try. But that day we were both in the summit, and we met in the summit with a friend of mine, Henri Amonneau. And then, yes, the bad weather comes, so I have to postpone a little bit my record. Then I had the wedding of my sister, and Benjamin tried. And when I tried, I said, oh, no, I have to try me too. I have nothing to lose. And it was end of May. It was very late. The snow starts melting in the lower altitude. So I said, yes, I have to try now. If not, that is too late, because there is basically anymore not snow in the lower altitude. And so I said, we try. I have nothing to lose. And yeah, I will go for it.
You took about 11 minutes off of his time. How did his record affect your time plans? Were you originally aiming to go the speed that you went, or did you have to like push harder knowing that there was a new record to beat?
Before start, to be honest, I have no idea of the time I can set, because you cannot try in the training such a time, such a record, like a normal race, or like a 1 hour, 2 hour race, or a running race, because it's too hard to try in the training. Also to dance the rules, because you cannot try the record in the training. And also because the conditions are tricky. It depends a lot on the condition that you find that day on the moon. They saw if sun is not really windy, the snow crusty, soft, hard. So it was impossible to me to say before a time. I said, okay, Benjamin did it in such time. Yeah, I will try to do better. If I can do, it's good. If not, I have tried. Then during the uphill, I had a lot of difficulties, but in the end, when I reached the summit, I saw that I was more or less 20 minutes in front of the Benjamin time. And I said, okay, now, no, to don't take too much risk in the downhill and to try to arrive safe and sane in Chamonix.
Yeah. Well, and it paid off.
Yes.
What would you say is the most dangerous part of this whole endeavor? Is it the downhill on the skis or is it the technical ridge? What do you feel is the highest risk part?
I think that the highest risk are in the Tungshan, where there are a lot of crevasses and you have to cross them. And also, yes, the downhill, because you go very, very fast with the ski and there are some crevasses also in the north face, then also in the lower, the Petit Plateau. So you have to pay attention to the crevasses. Maybe in uphill, you are slower, so it's easier to see them and to go around, to don't fall into crevasses. While in the downhill, maybe you go 60K, 70K. So,
wow.
Yes, you go very fast and you have to pay a lot of attention to don't fall in the crevasses.
Mm-hmm. And I know when I was reading your trip report, it sounded like you chose maybe some slightly different route choices than Benjamin did. Can you talk about what you did differently?
But basically, at the Grand Plateau, Benjamin went to the left, passing through Col de la Brenva, Mur de la Cote, and going up from that way. That way, Benjamin did has the advantage that you can keep the ski. You don't have to put off the ski because you can basically go up without take off the ski and without put on the crampons. But maybe it's a little bit longer. While me, I choose to go to the right, so passing through the Arete de Bosson and through the Vallo, that is the classical way or Vallo that you did also in the summer. That section maybe is shorter, like in terms of distance, but you have to take off the ski to put the crampon, so you lose time in the transition. So it's tricky. It's a step from the condition that you find the day, and the day me I prefer to go up from that way. But basically are two very similar routes in terms of time, so it's tricky. It's not 100% sure that one way is short to the other or vice versa.
Can you talk a little bit more about the conditions on the day that you went? And did you have a specific day in mind in advance, or were you just kind of watching the weather and waiting for an opportunity that looked good?
No, I didn't have in mind a specific day because it depends a lot from the condition. Then it arrives a good weather window, 3-4 days of window with a warm temperature, also in the higher altitude. And it was also the vacation in France. The Friday was vacation. So I decided to try Saturday, the day after. So I see maybe some people. I went to the summit and I found the path, the road that the other people make the day before. So the condition that day were not so easy because, yes, it was true that a lot of people the day before climbed the mountains, but then skiing down, it was a lot of bumps, a lot of icy snow. So I have troubles with my skin because I don't have the grip and I have a lot of difficulty because it was bumps that the skier did the day before. And also in the lower altitude, I have soft snow. I sink in the deep snow. And so, yes, it was a certain point that I said to me, okay, it's impossible to do the record now because the conditions are not good. It was also a girl that day was trying to do the record, but she dropped because she said that the conditions were not good. Then in high altitude, I was luckier because the snow was hard and there is a little bit of fresh snow, and I was able again to gain time. So it was tricky. Mm-hmm. And I chose that day because basically then it was too late to try, because in a lower altitude, the limit of the snow started to rise up.
Right. Yeah, I imagine it's actually pretty difficult to time an FKT like this for when there's still enough snow to ski all the way down, but that it's warm enough and nice enough on the upper mountain.
Yes, it's not easy because you have to find the perfect condition, both in lower altitude and in higher altitude, but it's pretty impossible because if you have good condition in high altitude, so hard snow, and it means that in lower altitude you have soft snow and you sink in the snow. Vice versa, if maybe you have good condition in the lower altitude, like hard snow, of course in high altitude there is a lot of fresh snow because it is too early in the season. It's pretty impossible to find perfect condition from 1,000 to almost 5,000 meters. So yes, you have to try a little bit the right balance and to be lucky also with the weather and so on.
What were the temperatures and conditions at the top of the mountain when you did your FKT?
It was good. It was quite warm for the altitude, for to be at almost 4,000 meters and 800, because I had the jacket and also windproof jacket, but I didn't wear them. And I also have normal gloves, and I didn't have to wear another pair of gloves. So it was that for the temperature, conditions were simply perfect. And also it was no wind or only a little bit. So I was lucky with the condition.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I would imagine it's frequently quite windy up there. You said when you were preparing for this, it was kind of difficult to know how fast you can go. And now that you've done it once, do you think you could do it again faster? Are you wanting to go back and try again?
Yes, I think that yes, I could go faster. Maybe if I try early in the season, like maybe the beginning of May and not the end of May, because maybe if I find more snow, I can ski down more in the forest, or I can ski down lower simply, and you simply gain time if you are able and if you can ski more lower in the altitude because you go faster. I have also to the day to find a proper physical condition. That day I was, yes, I felt strong. I was in a very good shape. And so it's not only the condition, but also the physical preparation that day. I arrived in a perfect shape. So yes, theoretically, I think that 4.5 hours is possible, but then you have to do it.
Could you talk a little bit about what your preparation and your training for this were like?
I simply didn't do a proper preparation, because I simply do the regular ski mountaineering season. So I basically did between 15 and 20 races as every season I do, because I am an athlete. So I don't prepare properly for the Mont Blanc record, but I simply prepare for the race. So I don't have the focus to to train for the record, but I simply do the race, the trainings for the race, and so I don't prepare with the objective to do the record, but to do the race. Then I arrived at the season, I did my last race, Trofeo Mezzalama, that is a race here in Italy, a historical race of ski mountaineering that you are in very high altitude. And when I finished the regular season, I was in a good shape. So I had this project in the mind and I decided to exploit also the shape and to try.
And if you were to go back again, what would you do differently with your training? Like, what would you add in to maybe improve your time on Mont Blanc?
Basically, I could do a little bit more altitude. I got to train to prepare, to be more prepared for the elevation. But the other training is good because race and also race with other give you a very strong motivation, a very good shape. And the race stimulus is one of the best that you can do, because I say that the race is also the best train, the best training. The racing is the best training. So if I will do again, I won't change too much my preparation. Basically, I simply add some more day in a high altitude.
So what's next for you? What do you have coming up?
Now, I will go for the regular season of ski mountaineering. Next week, I will do a race in Austria, the Mountain Attack. It is an historical race on the slope. It's 3,000 meters of elevation on a very steep slope, on the ski resort of Salbach. And then I will have some race in mind here in Italy and in France, Pyramente, Sella Ronda, Tour du Rotor, that are the most iconic race. And the next spring, we'll see if I will try again or maybe another record. I am thinking about it, but of course I would like to do another project, because I like projects in the mountains and they gave me a lot of inspiration.
Well, best of luck on the rest of your season, and I look forward to following along on your future adventures. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me, and I hope to be here again, speak another record maybe.
Yes, I hope so too. That would be great.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again, William, for coming on the show. You can read about his FKT on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow his adventures on Instagram at William Pafelli.